A Christmas Carol, the popular, masterful, and moving Christmastime ghost story by Charles Dickens, tells the tale of the solitary old miser Ebenezer Scrooge. Scrooge's entire energy was devoted to one thing, and one thing only: amassing money. He had no use for anything or anyone that did not contribute to advancing his solitary purpose in life. By way of summary of where we've been in this Advent sermon series, on a certain Christmas Eve, Ebenezer Scrooge was visited by the ghost of his former business partner, Jacob Marley. The ghost pleaded with his former colleague to change his self-centered, uncompassionate ways, to change while there was still time. The lesson we took from that is that there is always hope that we can turn our lives around. Marley's ghost had predicted that Scrooge would be visited by a series of three spirits. The first of these, the ghost of Christmas past, brought to life scenes from Scrooge's earlier years. And for the first time since childhood, Scrooge actually shed a tear for the relationships he had neglected in favor of his solitary desire to succeed as measured by the acquisition of wealth. The lesson we took from that was that God's forgiving nature promises us that our past faults do not condemn our future. And that recap brings us to today, where we meet the second of the three spirits predicted by Marley's ghost. We meet the ghost of Christmas present. A jolly giant, as Dickens described him. The ghost had a genial face, a sparkling eye, an open hand, a cheery voice, and a joyful air. He was the embodiment of Merry Christmas, with the color, the richness, the abundance, and the hearty welcome of celebration. The ghost continually entreated Ebenezer, "Look upon me." But Scrooge was reluctant to cast his eyes on this hale and hearty spirit. Scrooge thought that all Christmas observances, from gifts and decorations to feasts and revelry, all of it was nothing more than humbug, foolishness. Scrooge couldn't conceive of anyone in their right mind wasting hard-earned wages on lavish outlays of food and clothing and decorations and gifts and merrymaking, especially for something as pointless as a holiday which comes around every year, lasts for a day, and then disappears only to show its bothersome self again in a year's time. To Scrooge, a holiday was nothing more than a waste of an otherwise productive day. No, Scrooge was reluctant indeed to heed the bidding of the ghost of Christmas present to look upon me. Scrooge didn't want to acknowledge the reality of the world around him. He had no stomach for those keeping Christmas merry. But Ebenezer also had no sympathy for those who faced difficult circumstances, like sickness, like poverty. Scrooge was convinced that they brought it on themselves. What reason could they have to be merry, he wondered. Well, the spirit spanned space and time to show Scrooge scenes of genuine joy and celebration. First, in the comfortable home of his nephew. Then, scenes of sincere Christmas celebrations of impoverished, hard-working families living in the dingy shanties of the coal valleys. And then a view of the gratitude and joy of a solitary man tending a lighthouse, and the captain at a ship's wheel upon a vast sea. "They all know me," said the ghost of Christmas present to Scrooge. And the Spirit's message was clear. People know to be grateful and generous and compassionate and responsive. Regardless of their station, regardless of their condition, they know it when they allow God's Spirit to live within them. "Look at me," the ghost said again, urging old Scrooge to look and see and acknowledge and respond to the realities all around him. We too can be reluctant to acknowledge the realities around us. When our home is warm and our car is fueled and our bed is soft and our plate is full and our wallet is sufficient, we can become blind and deaf to the reality of need, which is absolutely present in our world, even in our community, even in our church, and perhaps even in our own homes. How great the needs every single day. How little we think of them. In jails and prisons, some men and women wonder how they will be accepted by families, by employers, once they've served their time. In Thailand, boys and girls wonder what they did wrong that caused them to be swept into the sex trafficking business and what they can do to escape. In Syria, women and men and children struggle mightily to try to maintain a daily routine while soldiers and mortar fire blast away any semblance of peace and normalcy. In Cleveland, some children striving to gain an education are distracted by the growling in their tummies. A world needing salvation is nothing new. This morning's reading from the Gospel of Matthew began with the familiar story of kings following a star and ended with a tale that is probably less familiar and much more disturbing. It was the horrific story of paranoid King Herod attempting to protect his grasp of the throne by slaughtering all of Bethlehem's infant and toddler boys. Matthew caps the story with the words of the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, who had written, "A sound is heard in Ramah, a sound of bitter weeping. Rachel is crying for her children. She refuses to be comforted, for they are dead." Jesus was born into a world filled with brutality, greed, poverty, discrimination, injustice. Jesus ministered to people scarred by neglect, abuse, disrespect, violence. And not unlike the ghost of Christmas present, Jesus calls us to see the world. And Jesus calls us to serve the world in His name. We all know that Christmas time spawns greater generosity in the hearts of many. Just in this morning's Plain Dealer in the Parade magazine insert featured a cover story about a world of need and the many opportunities for Americans to give back, to give from our abundance. The article noted that individual Americans' charitable giving increased last year for the sixth consecutive year. Acts of generosity increased at this time of year. For instance, it's not unusual about now for us to get calls here at the church from individuals or families, sometimes businesses, looking for ways that they can bless a needy person or family with food or clothing. Many of you make special gifts to our churches in His name fund at this time of year. Following on the phenomena of Black Friday and online shopping Monday, whatever they call that, more Americans are beginning to embrace Giving Tuesday. Have you heard of that? Making online gifts to charitable organizations on the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. Or you walk by this morning, our youth group has a mitten tree out in the lobby to welcome your donations of scarves and hats, gloves and mittens for kids in this area who are cold. Or our semicircle invites your gifts to bless young people receiving the services of the Positive Education Program. And as I mentioned earlier, next week we will join with thousands of Presbyterian congregations receiving the annual Christmas Joy Offering, benefiting retired ministers and their widows. There's something about Christmas time that inspires an increase in charitable attitudes and generous acts. As believers, we know the source of that increase in charity and generosity. The blessing of Christmas is God's generosity to come live among us in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. What a world this would be if we were able to sustain that spirit of generosity and compassion and charity beyond December the 25th. When stores swap out Christmas specials for Valentine's Day merchandise, even before the calendar ushers us into a new year, when the echoes of carols dissipate within the walls of the church, how can the spirit of carols resonate in our minds to shape our attitudes? How can the spirit of carols resonate in our hearts to encourage acceptance and compassion? How can the spirit of carols inspire us to defend the helpless and to demand justice for those who are oppressed, stomped on by society, whether in a place far away or right here in the very society we live in? How can we sustain compassion and generosity? The spirit of Christmas present suggested a way. Look upon me, he urged Scrooge. Look upon me. In other words, open your eyes to see the needs all around you. Isn't that the reason God sent Jesus into the world? To encourage us to open our eyes to see the need all around us, and seeing the need that exists in the world, Jesus would have us respond. Perhaps in our own, perhaps with others who share our concern. We might give the precious gift of time to roll up our sleeves and get involved. We might phone or email or write to legislators to express our concerns and to suggest a compassionate, reasonable plan of action. We can pray for those who are suffering, praying for their safety, praying for their peace of mind, praying for provisions for daily life. We can share our money with responsible agencies who are directly addressing needs. These are things we can do in January and in July as readily as we can in November and December. Scrooge's infamous lack of compassion had resulted from his conscious choice to ignore the needs of anyone but himself. But the ghost of Christmas present opened his eyes to a reality. People in every walk of life learn to be grateful and generous and compassionate and responsive, regardless of their situation or condition. They learn to be more giving when they allow God's Spirit to dwell within them. Yes, compassion and generosity is something that we learn. From Deuteronomy chapter 15, you heard the Israelite people being taught, even amid their temporary hardship, the Israelite people being taught not to be selfish and refuse to help when encountering people in need. Instead, they were encouraged to be generous and to lend whatever they need. And so the lesson we take from Scrooge's encounter with the ghost of Christmas present, the lesson we take is expressed in the simple yet challenging question that's on the front cover of your bulletin this morning. One you might want to hold on to. One I would encourage you to hold on to. In what ways do you continue the Christmas spirit all year long? Amen.